I'd just like to recognise my co-authors. Is Paolo Peron, who has done most of the fieldwork in the Netherlands, and Niels as well, who's done most of the processing, and I'm doing the presenting. My name's Mike Smith. I'm at Kingston University, and my interests are particularly on DEM processing and low-altitude aerial photography. In terms of this talk today, the key message I wanted to get across was to look at the number of GCPs to be used when we process our aerial imagery, and particularly using a structure from motion processing chain. Three key things I want to cover. Firstly, the study area I'll be looking at. Secondly, the data processing chain. And then finally, I want to be also talk about the kite aerial photography we're using as well. So the area of interest is on the west coast of the Netherlands, called Zandmotor, or Sand Engine. And this is a long-term 20-year project looking at sand accretion in the area, and essentially dumping a large amount of sand off the coast and letting natural processes redistribute that. And they're interested in seeing how that changes over time. This project was funded in part to see how useful using repeat kite aerial photography can be, both as a technique and in terms of the sorts of accuracy that we can achieve using that. So some of the project goals, rather than just for this talk, firstly using kite aerial photography, and it's been noticeable that obviously this is a UAV session, and most people have been using either quadcopters or fixed wing aircraft. Kite aerial photography fits quite nicely as a product in those areas. One of the key things being its regulation. In many countries it's either unregulated or it's unregulated up to a certain height. In the UK that's 60 metres, so you can fly pretty much wherever you want up to 60 metres. So that's quite nice, it's unregulated largely. Secondly, it's also very field portable as well, so you can carry it in wherever you go. It can also fly in a whole variety of different wind speeds, which is quite nice. You need to have different kites for different wind speeds, but if it gets windier, you fly a smaller kite. In terms of the terrain extraction methods, we're interested in comparing two different techniques. Some of my earlier work has looked at using Leica photogrammetry suite to try to achieve very high vertical accuracies, but also looking at the structure from motion processing chain, which is what we've used for this particular talk. The focus specifically was how many GCPs do we need to collect over our entire area, which is around 800 metres long, in order to adequately constrain the model that we produce. So the equipment we're using, what we see here on the right is our kite. This is a fairly large kite. And we hang a suspension system from that, and then from that suspension system we have a frame or a rig that we put the camera in, and we can rotate that around three axes in order to orient the camera. In this particular instance, the camera we're flying is a Nikon D7000, so this is a digital SLR with a FX or smaller size sensor inside it at 16 megapixels with a fixed 20 millimeter lens. A range of different kites used on this project, all of different sizes. These are all soft kites, which are very controllable and pretty much go up in the air, sit there and do nothing. So they're nice from that perspective. The problem you face is if it's a very light wind day and the wind drops to nothing, they just fall out of the sky. So that's not quite so happy if you've got an expensive camera on there. You can use framed kites as well, which are very good in light winds, and if the wind dies then they just sail to the ground, which is a little bit better. On the ground we used to collect our GCPs a Leica Viva GPS. Okay, in terms of data acquisition, we've flown several campaigns now. I'm just going to report on one here. and using the setup we see here, acquiring in the region of several hundred photos per session, and then collecting GCPs on the ground using these fairly traditional alternating black-white spot targets, which are printed out at A3. Flying altitude around 80 metres or 80 to 100 metres with two main flight lines. Okay, so my introduction to the Netherlands and when I first turned up for this project, never having been there before, is that there are two things that I always think of the Netherlands being known for. The first is lots and lots of bikes, and the second one is lots and lots of wind. So I came along to two different flights that we did, and there were lots and lots of bikes, and there was no wind whatsoever. So I must have managed to pick the 2 days pretty much in the whole year where there was no wind in the Netherlands. Paolo did manage to get some good flights in over that period of time. And this is the results in terms of our trials using different GCPs. So over this area, using Agisoft PhotoScan, this is our 800 by 200 metre area, and we've collected over this area 90 GCPs, and they're fairly well spread out. And so we started off just by using four GCPs, and I should perhaps reiterate, this is one of the nicest things about using structure from motion, is that unlike traditional photogrammetry where we work with stereo pairs and you need to collect your ground control points per stereo pair, we can now process all of our imagery in one go and then constrain it at the final step with some ground control points. So our interesting, or the factor we wanted to investigate for this project, was to look at how many ground control points we needed to constrain it across the whole of our area. So we started off with four, and you can see that in this particular instance the surface is lower, and we have a relatively high error, standard deviation of 43 centimetres. So a further ground control point was added in the middle, giving us five, and you can see for this particular process, this drops the standard deviation quite significantly down to 21 centimetres. And then when we introduce a sixth one, so again evenly spread out from the corners in the centre, this drops it again to around 11 centimetres. This is what we might think of as our optimum number of GCPs over our entire area. We did move that on and increase it to 10 GCPs spread out along the edges, which again didn't significantly improve the standard deviation at all. And then we also ran one with 15 GCPs randomly spread out across our area. And again, we seem to have a convergence at around 10, 11, 12 centimetres from this flying height of 80 metres. Some key points to pull out here. Firstly, we have an acceptable vertical error of around 11 centimetres. I should note, in comparison to the work I did with the kite using Leica photogrammetry suite, this is nearly an order of magnitude worse. So traditional photogrammetry should be achieving something in the region of around 1 to 2 centimetres if we have a tight processing chain there. However, where SFM really excels is the fact that we have very little work to do, and that we can just process all the images in one go, and that we can do our entire area in one block and then add the GCPs in at the end. I'm going to be talking after the break, there is, and this follows on quite nicely from this, there is something to think about very carefully in terms of the flying height you have, the camera you're using, and the quality of the photography you're producing as well. And there's a careful balance between the sort of lens you're using, the height you're flying at, and the exposure settings you use on the camera. So we're in the process now of moving on to comparing this to our traditional photogrammetric workflow using Leica photogrammetry suite, and that will then be the results which we'll be writing up shortly. So just in conclusion then, very cheap and flexible method for creating our high resolution models. And in terms of monitoring our coastal development in the Netherlands, it's a very promising technique for that. Thanks very much.